Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and Sujit Mallow, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 182, being recorded on the 7th of June, 2017, with special guest, Daniel Baker. I'm Sujit, and on Skype with me, I have Russell and our special guest, Daniel. Our listeners may notice that our other co-hosts, Kale and Evan, are both not around today. They had some pressing matters that they had to take care of, but really, thank Russell for stepping in and filling in for them from the UK and bringing in one of his colleagues, Daniel, who we're going to talk to in just a minute. Russell, you put a bunch of updates in the show notes. Anything in particular you want to start with?
So, it's a bit of a funny week because when you look at the actual official announcements, there wasn't a great deal on there, but there's quite a lot of little updates and feature releases that have gone out. So one of the ones that I quite like the look of was an update to App Insights. So it's got this smart diagnostics, it's called. So when you go into the App Insights portal, you can then go into the analysis analytics engine behind it, which is a kind of a different language that drives the ability to query all the stats that are getting collected in the background on your app. But now when you chart something, it looks for various peaks or anomalies. And when it does it, it looks for patterns that have caused that kind of a peak to happen. So anything that's familiar or similar between all of the various peaks that have happened, then you can go in and run another report, which will give you detail about, you know, perhaps this spike was caused by the fact that this particular request has come from browsers of a certain level to this certain page over this period of time. So you can then narrow in, and it's quite a nice thing because it kind of takes a lot of the guesswork out of you trying to figure out what is a spike, what's caused the spike, what was common in there. So again, it's really quite powerful, and there's a nice little video up there on the App Insights page to show you how that works. So yeah, very nice.
That is indeed very handy because it's typically, you know, it normally takes you a while to figure out, right? What's common? Everybody asks, okay, we see this change today. What's common in all these additional requests that are coming in? And I think this is nice where they do all the kind of hard work in figuring that out.
Yeah, previously you're going through and you're looking at various exceptions or various things, data points, and obviously you've got to go and find them all first.
Right.
Which is fairly obvious because they're going to be peaks or what have you, but you've got to go and look at them and then take the detail from that and take those properties and so on. This just takes all that guesswork out of it. It also does a nice thing by saying, okay, if you take this pattern out of the normal run, then you would have seen a flat line instead of the peaks.
Oh, wow.
So it allows you to see... Yeah, so I actually to compare and say, okay, if I didn't have that particular thing happening, what would my chart look like? Which is really nice as well.
That's nice. Well, you know, Cosmos DB is the big news these days, and they've got an update on that. They've added a Spark, the Spark connector, and Spark is the very popular open source engine for doing machine learning and things like that. Now that Spark, your Spark job, so to speak, can now hook into Cosmos DB and get, query the data there and include it as part of that machine learning process. So it just makes it easier instead of, having to know all the APIs to talk to Cosmos DB. There's a direct Spark connector available for that.
That's nice. A couple of other SQL sort of database related things. So the limit on Elastic pools has gone up to 3,000 EDTUs, which is the Elastic data throughput units. So that's gone up quite a bit from what it was previously. And there's a thing there as well called Azure SQL Data Sync Refresh, which I think is a preview feature. Certainly for this particular one, you've got to go and register for it if you want to get early access to it. But it allows you to go into the portal now with the new version of it and look at any SQL Azure database you've got and set up the ability to synchronize to other SQL databases in different regions or down to an on-premises SQL database as well. So it's kind of taking a lot of that effort out of keeping things synced for you.
And I'm sure Evan would appreciate that you covered for him the SQL in doing the SQL topics. You know, another one, nice one that I like is Azure Security Center. Okay, they've added some new alerts in there to help you in investigating threats that might be hitting your application. One of the ones which caught my eye is this Bitcoin mining attack. So I guess there's this an algorithm that some malicious folks out there can use, which is to try and leverage unused capacity in the cloud to do mining. Right? Bitcoin mining requires a lot of CPU, and normally you'd have to pay for the CPU, which would not really help you because you're trying to make money out of those, new numbers to get new bitcoins. But by attacking an existing system out there, they can use that capacity. And it might be some server that you set up there, but you're not really using it. But now somebody else has taken advantage of that, and they're using it to mine Bitcoin. So the Azure Security Center now has some guides or some additional tools to help you alert you if somebody is kind of misusing your existing VMs or to do Bitcoin mining. And there's some other kind of threats that they also help you detect. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I thought that was interesting.
They call this context alerts, don't they? And it looks as if it's kind of analyzing what's going on in terms of commands and processes being executed on that particular VM. So it's looking out for people, for example, changing security permissions on the machine and stuff like
any
that.
Any anomalies.
Or installing the script engine. I saw that was one as well. So by default, servers don't have the Windows scripting agents registered. So if you go and register those, or you're doing some FTP stuff that's not typically done on that machine. So I think it's using machine learning as well as some good log analytics to figure out what's going on there and putting stories together basically to say this looks like somebody's trying to attack.
Yep.
Yeah, very clever stuff.
Guys, I guess one of the things that sort of stems on from the security story was a really interesting blog post that I read this week from news.microsoft.com. Now, they were talking about how Microsoft approached cloud security. So obviously, it comes as no surprise, a product as big as Azure is under constant attack. And I guess sometimes people are startled by this, but the fact remains, a company as large as Microsoft with products as big as our cloud offerings will always be the target of malicious exploitation attempts. And it was a really interesting article, and we talked about how much we invest each year to protect our systems and our customers. And what I found particularly fascinating is we log about 1.5 million attempts each and every day from attackers trying to compromise our system.
Oh my God, really?
but what's really awesome about this is that we're not just fending off those attacks, we're actually learning from them by feeding these payloads into our security graph. We create massive amounts of data that can be used to protect our customers. And here's the great thing behind that. If you protect one customer from sustaining an attack, you then have the knowledge to protect all. You know, I mean, we say over and over again, data is important, data is important. And this is perfectly highlighted in what we're able to do with our security services, which is, you know, certainly reflected in the conversations that I'm having recently.
And it allows us as consumers to kind of almost take a lot of it for granted, doesn't it? But you're right. When you look at the amount of traffic that's going on to public endpoints that you might expose, it's quite scary. But I guess that's a fraction of what's actually happening, because a lot of it's not even getting that far.
Exactly. But you can see attitudes now changing, can't you? I mean, when I first started evangelizing the cloud, it was often met with, oh, I can't migrate to the cloud due to security concerns. But the reality is more and more people are now realizing that a transition to the cloud is actually a security enabler. And with our massive investment and strong portfolio of certifications, you know, I'd argue that being in Azure is perhaps one of the more sensitive security maneuvers a company will make.
Agreed. Mm. Yep. That's a good point, Daniel. Thank you for that. So just a couple of other updates in here that I noticed. One was the Azure Media Indexer, which is kind of very similar to, you know, the speech-to-text engine I talked about last week with the video indexer, which we've been playing around with. This is, you know, for something that's built into Azure Media Services for a while, and now they've added new support for new languages. So, you know, the video or the audio file that you're trying to index could contain now, you know, somebody speaking in Russian or, as they call it, British English. I didn't realize that was a separate language, but apparently it is.
Yes, definitely.
I understood Australian English was different, but I didn't know British English was different. And then there is, of course, Mexican Spanish. So they have all these dialects and, you know, different kinds of languages that they can recognize now in the video and extract all the text from it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And then there's something on HD Insights, IntelliJ. So IntelliJ is a very popular IDE, I think, from JetBrains in the Java space. And we've been doing a lot of work with them to add tools to make it easier to work with Azure. And HD Insight Tools is now kind of improved with IntelliJ. Things like, you know, if you want to create a Scala application, for example, or do some Spark, like we just talked about, and you want to do debugging. So they've added enhancements for all of that in IntelliJ to make it easier for those developers to consume Azure services.
Okay. One last one, just quickly. There's the V2 VPN gateway SKUs are now available as well, and I'll include a link to that on the show notes. But as I understand it, that's kind of like a remake of them using the full ARM provider model. So they're fully supported by the portal. So you can't move between the current SKUs and the new ones, but you can up and down within these SKUs. And it's a different set of functionality, but a whole different set of performance criteria in there as well.
Yeah, massive throughput increase as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So some people get very excited on some of the networking forums about the amount of throughput there.
And let's just remind our listeners, so the VPN gateway, this allows you to use just the internet itself, right, as a kind of an express route sort of connection between Azure and your data center. Is that the primary use case?
So there's a couple of things that you can do with a VPN gateway. Obviously, you've got your point-to-site connections in there and your site-to-site connections back in there. But yeah, it's acting as the bridge between the on-premises network and the Azure VNet.
Okay, very good. Excellent. So that's good. Well, that's a good wrap-up. And, you know, we thought it was going to be a light week, Russell, but apparently... Yeah. Quite a few updates, so thank you for all of that. So let's get to our special guest, and why don't you, Russell, why don't you go ahead and, you know,
To kind of correct you slightly, or well, not quite correct you, but qualify it before, because you were saying kind of like, you know, I've just dragged a colleague in here. We actually did plan to have Daniel on the show I think it was a couple of weeks' time we were lined up for Daniel, but thanks for stepping in early and rescheduling.
Yeah. Yep, you're right.
So Daniel is quite a big personality in the Azure world. I'll let him introduce himself, but it's all about education and evangelizing Azure. He does a great job within the partner space here as well. So over to you, Daniel, to give yourself more justice than I can.
Thank you very much. And listen, guys, thank you for having me on the podcast. I mean, I know Cal very well, and I've actually sort of pestered him for quite a while to come on. So thank you for letting it happen. Again, as previously mentioned, my name's Daniel Baker, but I'm probably better known as my Twitter alias, Azure Dan. And I'm the Partner Development Learning Specialist for Microsoft in the UK. But I guess you could say that I have a very unique role because I'm tasked with building the excitement around the cloud and really showing off the art of the possible, which I have achieved in a number of different ways. So about 18 months ago, I released a video training series called Cloud and Proud, which done quite well. More recently, I've been running what's known as Azure Absorb sessions, which are bite-sized sessions around key workloads in the cloud. But I guess my big hit this year has been presenting my Build a Company in a Day roadshow. Now, this is a very simple premise. We start off with a blank Azure subscription, and over the course of the day, I take the audience through the key components of building a company inside Microsoft Azure. You know, we'll start off, we'll build the authentication mechanisms, then we'll look at the networking and connectivity resources, we'll build the VM estate, the backup and disaster recovery, the development strategies before moving across to PaaS services and deploying things like web apps, logic apps, bots, and data streams. Now, this has really landed well in the UK attendees, but I appreciate that we have a multinational audience here, and people are probably thinking, okay, how does this benefit me? Well, extending the reach of this day is my main priority, and I'm now working on recording the session, which I will hopefully have something available to stream in the near future. In the interim, what I wanted to talk about today was some of the great resources that we have around learning and understanding Azure. Now, we've spent considerable time and resource developing content and partnering with some of the biggest learning providers to make sure that we can offer some of the best in-class training modalities. I mean, look, guys, if we're honest, the cloud can be quite daunting, especially if you've been in IT for a while. I mean, certainly when I began my IT career some 20 odd years ago, it was very siloed in terms of expertise. You had the networking people, then we had the database people, the desktop people, the app people, and so on. But nowadays we have this new buzzword, you know, DevOps, and suddenly we have to know a little bit about everything. You know, it's not just about managing the systems anymore. We need to think about streamlining deployment, scale management, security, cost control, threat detection, the list is endless. And the fact is, if we look at Azure in the bigger picture, you know, we typically have a product that changes on average every 36 hours. So then this sets a new precedent in the way we stay abreast of these changes and how we consume the right materials to stay relevant to our roles. So how do we achieve this? I think if you look at how the landscape of learning is changing, yes, we still have some amazing learning providers delivering our classroom mock materials, and the MCT is as strong as ever. But the reality is, spending a week at a time in a classroom isn't always going to be feasible, especially for our smaller customers and partner base who may not have the bandwidth to spare resource. And I guess on top of this, if you have a delegate who attends the training and then has to play catch up with stockpiled workload, then you'll quickly run the risk of devaluing the learning experience. So with this in mind, what we now do is offer free online variants of our courses as part of our Azure Skills initiative. You guys aware of ASI?
Yep.
Okay, so just for the listeners then who maybe don't know this, ASI has been gaining massive momentum. In the UK sub alone, we have thousands of registrations from people to wishing to take advantage of the materials and learning things from like the fundamentals of Azure to some of our more advanced workloads. And while this training is free, we also offer you the ability to be able to pursue official certification streams by taking advantage of our examination packs. So what do I mean by that? Well, for just, you know, if I do the conversion to UK, for £74, I think it is, you can get an exam voucher, a free resit if needed, and access to a practice test. Now, that would allow you to earn an MCP credential. What's more, for just £208, you gain access to the resources to pass all three core exams and gain Azure Mastery with the MCSE Cloud Platform and Infrastructure certification. I mean, just think about that. I've been an MCT for 20 years, and never in the history of my, work have you been able to earn an MCSE for £208. Well, I guess if you do the conversion back to dollars, just shy of $300. But it's not just platform and infrastructure, guys. We know that the cloud focuses on many areas, which is why in ASI you'll find training that focuses on workloads such as CI/CD, automation, security, compliance, data, and data science components. But you're also going to find, if you go to Azure.com training, some really, really cool training that's just been developed from our friends at Pluralsight. Now, this is going to include videos on managing your infrastructure, building VMs, monitoring services, as well as some of the more common development tool sets. And don't forget, on top of all of this, you can still find the roadmaps, the feature updates, the webinars, the live events, and the blog posts that are being generated by the various product teams from in Microsoft.
Yep. This is very good, Daniel. I like the Cloud and Proud especially. That just sounds really nice. And your Start a Business in a Day. I think that's a great initiative over there. But tell me more about this ASI now. What's like, what makes this, you know, different from some of the other training out there? Like why is this why do you speak very highly of this particular series of training?
Well, the ASI has been developed by Microsoft. It's otherwise known as MOOCs, or Massive Online Curriculum. And like I say, it's tightly following the exam objectives. Again, one of the big problems with the massive pace of innovation in the cloud is the fact that it's continually changing. And I think that one of the big problems you have, especially with the printed manual, that as soon as it's printed, it's effectively out of date. So I know that some of our MCTs and learning partners have perhaps struggled in that area, and that's where bringing it into a digital format can pay dividends. I mean, if you think about the wealth of information at your fingertips, we've had a large influx of certifications in our cloud technologies. But I guess on top of that, while that's great that we're getting so many people certified, we also understand that there are still many people who perhaps don't know how to start, which is why on top of ASI, we've created the Microsoft IT Pro Career Center, which is really designed to help you tailor a learning path to meet your individual objectives. So the idea behind this, you go to Azure.com, you go into training, and then with just a few clicks, you can run the career mapping tool and find the relevant materials for your profile. What's more, you can gain further insight into your unique learning strengths by completing the assessment tools from our friends at ClearFit. Okay. So, I mean, it really takes you through understanding that learning path, understanding the exams, understanding where you are at the moment. Now, you know, in my mind, one of the best ways to learn the cloud, one of the best ways to learn Azure is to marry yourself to the product. Practice Great. Makes perfect. Yep. So what you can also do is gain a free annual subscription by signing up to Microsoft IT Pro Cloud Essential Service. And again, everything I've mentioned there, you haven't got to go trawling the internet for it. Everything is under Azure.com.
Okay, you know, and I'm glad you brought that last bit up about, you know, actually getting some hands-on experience, because my experience has been that a lot of these courses are very focused, as I said, to pass your exam, right? They focus on the exams. And, you know, I mean... I don't know, you know, if that's a good thing, because then you could have somebody who says they're certified in Azure, but they've actually not, you know, opened up the portal, right? They've probably just seen a bunch of videos and they've learned a lot of things, you know, memorized whatever, and they've gone and passed the exam. How do you kind of, you know, get
well,
past
I think,
that?
I think that is a really good point. And, you know, it's something that I've been very vocal about at Microsoft. You know, my first MCSE certification was NT4, and to date, I think I've got 63 of them. But it's changed.
Show off.
So, well, I was an MCT. I had to pass it in order to teach it. But the point I'm trying to make is the way that we are assessed has to change. You know, if you look at NT4, things didn't really change for a few years. And then Windows 2000 come in, that brought in Active Directory. It was some new stuff to learn, but you still had NTFS permissions, you still had the concept of networking, you still had the concept of TCP/IP, and then that lasted for a few years, and then there were some subtle changes. You're looking at a product now that changes every 36 hours. So reading a book, watching a video only has a limited lifespan. The only way you stay on top of Azure is to play with Azure. It's to, you know, look, anyone that knows me at Microsoft knows that I live and breathe this product. It is, you know, for me, it is one of the biggest technology innovations that I've ever seen. And it changes the IT landscape completely. But you have to marry yourself to the product.
Yeah. One of the things you were showing me the other day, Dan, was you're an extension of the cloud yourself, aren't you?
I am, yes.
IoT me.
So, yes, I was showing Russell the other day. So I'm a type 1 diabetic, been diabetic all my life. And what that means is I have to test my blood glucose levels 4 or 5 times a day. Now, that's an inconvenience. So I looked at technologies that I could use to sort of integrate myself into the cloud, and I found a glucose reader sensor that got embedded into my arm and lasted 2 to 3 weeks. Now, from there, I can take glucose readings via an NFC reader. That then gets fed into a database and then is pulled back down into Power BI. So what it means is at any point, I'm connected to my glucose levels and I can see how I'm trending, what's going on, do I need to increase my insulin, do I perhaps need to exercise more? And it just gives me great insight. And it goes back to what Microsoft have been saying for the last 18 months. Data, data, data. Data really is the new economy. Data really is important to make intelligent decisions. And I've sort of onboarded that to look after my health.
That's a very good story right there, Daniel. So like in all your classes and the sessions that you've taught, where do you see the most demand? Like, where do you see the most excitement in Azure? Which parts of Azure?
So at the moment, the big thing is still infrastructure as a service. You know, there are a lot of people that are doing these piecemeal migrations, these lift and shifts. But again, historically, we see this, you know, as much as people like to say they're agile when they embrace change, the reality is we are sometimes slow moving to it. The idea of build a company in a day is to take people through that journey. So they begin by seeing, right, we're going to create a network, we're going to create a virtual machine, and they can relate to that because they're the things they've done in the past. But the real excitement of the cloud is based around platform as a service, functions, and serverless computing. You know, at the end of the day, if you were building a new company, would you really want to worry about, you know, a server, a backend? Probably not. You just want the application. You just want the data set. And that's really what lends itself to platform as a service. So by taking people through, showing them how you can build web apps, showing them how you can build logic apps, and I use logic apps myself. You know, for my followers on Twitter, my Twitter is largely a number of logic apps that run in Azure that go off and they sift through the internet to look for RSS feeds to do with Azure. It then collates that information and posts it on my behalf. What's more, I've got logic apps in there that monitor the communications that I'm having on Azure and come back and give me sentiment analysis reports so I can see how well, you know, the cloud and prouds and the builder company in the day are landing with the audience. So I think that's the important thing to show people. You've got to sort of show them the story from start to finish. And as they approach the PaaS stuff, they really start to see the excitement of it, you know. And I think one of the big things that I try and do at Microsoft is make it a little bit more personal. I show them the internet of me. I show them the power of PaaS, you know, and I show them that the things that they can do with logic apps and bots and so on.
That's good. That's very good, Daniel. Thank you. Well, this is definitely a good bit of information for our listeners to absorb. Russell, Daniel, anything more you want to add before we wrap up the show today?
Well, I'm just wondering, Dan, is there any sort of particular bit of training that you give, or a particular some particular concept that you get across that seems to clear the clouds for people? No pun intended with the cloud thing there, but just something that is, you know, people that don't get the cloud at the moment, or they don't get PaaS. Is there some sort
Absolutely.
Of quick thing that just switches them on?
So there's a couple of things that you can do. If you want to go through building a company and looking at the components, then you have the Cloud and Proud. Now, I'll be honest, that's now a year old. It's starting to show signs of aging, and we are in the process of rewriting it. If you're completely new to all of this, then if you go to Azure.com, if you go to the training and you look at the course that says Azure Fundamentals, that will take you through the process of understanding what the cloud is about, why it's for you, and more importantly, why it's for everyone. We need to sort of break away from this stigma that the cloud is just for large organizations. The one thing about the cloud is it's for everyone. And, you know, you could argue that the bigger the company, the more prohibited it is, because, you know, someone coming new into the cloud, if you've got that killer idea, we have the tools to help that grow. On top of that, in ASI, you have a number of micro sessions in there as well. So you'll have workloads that focus on data, automation, security, and so on. And the last thing I want to mention, guys, is, you know, we're really just scratching the surface here. If you look, you've also got things like, you know, this is a brilliant podcast that I regularly listen to. You've also got things like Scott Hanselman's Azure Fridays. You've got Tuesdays with Corey. So there's a number of resources that are being presented to you.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, thanks so much, Daniel, and thank you, Russell, for bringing Daniel on and sharing all that great insight. I'm sure, you know, Daniel, be sure to send us all the links. We'll put them in the show notes, right, along with this particular show, so that listeners have that ready available for them.
I will do. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
All right. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.